Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I want to work through a concept that I think is foundational. I think it's one of those concepts that if you get this, then you probably can be successful in life. If you don't get this concept, you probably won't be successful in life. Now, the problem with that statement is that success is relative, and what gets in the way of a great life, it's a good life, and what gets in the way of a good life, it's an okay life. And many of you are sitting out there right now, you don't even know that you're living a life of quiet desperation. You don't realize that you're humping the wheel every day, getting up, running around the little wheel like a, you know, a little mouse, and driving to work and doing the same thing every day, day in, day out, work. And you don't even realize that you're caught in a trap. The trap that you've been sold is a quality lifestyle. You believe that is a quality lifestyle. And because of that, you don't try to do anything about it. You really just assume that this is as good as life gets. But you're wrong. It's not as good as life gets. Life can be unbelievable. And if you can't right now turn around and say to me, Del, my life is incredible, then you're not living up to the quality of lifestyle you should have. Your relationships should be incredible. I spent time with my fiance yesterday. It's probably some of the best time I've spent in a long time. It was just incredible time spent together. I couldn't figure anything else I'd rather do. You should have investments that are incredible. I'll tell you, my investments, my businesses make me more money than I ever dreamed I could ever make, ever hoped I could ever make. And I don't do hardly anything to do it. It's a very small amount of time invested, right? So my fitness is phenomenal considering I'm 62 years old and almost died of like 10,000 different things. Had every body part cut off and sewn back on again. But that has nothing to do with fitness. That just has to do with, you know, the natural attrition of a human body and the things that go wrong. But my fitness, I'm as healthy as I was when I was, you know, younger. You know, you look at these things, you ask yourself these questions. What is it? What, you know, why am I 200 pounds overweight or 100 pounds overweight or even 50 pounds overweight? You know, why? And as you go through life and you just accept that it's okay to have a poor marriage, an okay marriage, you know, an okay relationship with your spouse, an okay relationship with your kids. You got a job. It might even be a good job. Or an okay job, but it's not making you rich. And you're getting up and doing it every day, and you think, if I do the same thing every day for a year, and I'm not extremely better off, what have I done? What have I accomplished? A year ago, I didn't own the 5 apartment complexes I own today. I have 5 more apartment complexes in my portfolio than I had last year. So what have you done in the last year? I get a really great opportunity to speak to people after they join Lifestyles. And we spend time with them, and I spend time with them working with them. And I'm able to talk to people and find out what it was they went through before they joined. And you know, if you're listening to this show on a regular basis, we're bringing people on here every week that are going, man, they're telling you my life completely changed. It's unbelievable. We've been doing that for 29 years. Right? We've been doing case studies at our offices. Every office in the country, we're doing case studies. And every month, we're having people get up there and tell you, my life is incredible. My investments are doing great. I'm retiring 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. and you listen to it. And I have talked to many of you, said, I've listened to you for a year or two or three or four. In fact, funniest one, I got an email the other day, a guy said, I said, how'd you hear about us? He says, oh, I listen to your radio show all the time. He goes, I love your radio show until you start talking about real estate. And once you start talking about real estate, I turn it off. And you know, it's funny. You might take that as an insult. I don't, because the truth of the matter is, I don't really care about real estate. Real estate is a tool that allows me to get the things in life that I really want. Right? And I would much prefer to teach a class or to do a radio show than to go out and deal with real estate. Now, I like negotiating, and I prefer buying than selling. It's just so much easier to be a buyer than a seller, because a buyer, you just say, I'm not going to go there, and you walk away. A seller's stuck until somebody's willing to take his offer. But I just look at this and I think about, why are you out there not doing anything? And I've got a lot of different assumptions, right, that I'm going to go over with you today. If you want to call up and just tell me this today, or yeah, I don't care. You can ask me any question you want to, if you want to just do a question. Give us a call at 877-711-5211. That's 877-711-5211. I'm going to open up the phone lines early today because this is a light conversation day. I know what I want to talk about, but I have not written any type of an outline plan because I really would like to see where this conversation takes us. So why are you not doing something to change your life? What impediment are you thinking is in front of you that's keeping you from changing your life? Now, as we go on, I want to get out of a couple statements I think are most important statements I ever heard. The ones I said are life changers. They come from Einstein. And that's a pretty smart guy. And Einstein says, you can't solve the problem at the same level of thinking the problem was created at. You can't solve the problem at the same level of thinking that the problem was created at. So your life quality is the problem. You can't fix it. Doing more of what doesn't work doesn't work. The real truth is, and Einstein said this also, how you see the problem is the problem. What you believe to be true, what you think the real challenge is the challenge. And it's because you don't see what the real challenge is, you can't fix it. You can't even see it. So I was talking to somebody the other day about, how do you get yourself in a situation where you don't even know what you don't know? Well, that's every new thing you ever tackle in life. Anything and everything that you start, you don't even know what you don't know. You know what you question. You know what you think you need to know. But you don't even know what you don't know. And so until you can realize this, that where you're at right now will not solve your problem, will not get you to where you want to be, you're not going to get there. Now, I had someone ask me to do a piece on this the other day. So I'm going to throw in a light piece for it. And that is, what about the people out there that believe that education, information, mentoring is too expensive? It's useless. What they want to do, and I get this all the time, is that they want to go on the internet and pick up every little piece of information they can. I do that. They want to listen to radio shows and pick off whatever pieces they can pull out of the radio show for free. I would do that. But they won't go one step further and indulge in the actual training of doing something. I told the story one day on the radio. You can look up one of my podcasts about me trying for years. I've lived in this house for 7 years, and I've been trying for 7 years to build this train layout. I built it, got up to a certain level, and figured out I couldn't keep going because the problems I had created by what I'd done already precluded me from going further and improving what I had. I had to take it all back down again and start all over. I've done that 3 times. Finally, I just got irritated enough that I went in and I met and found the guy that was the best railroad train model builder in the country and paid him to mentor me on the process. Now, he wanted to do the whole thing for me. And I said, no, I really want to do it myself. There's a lot of you do-it-yourselfers out there. But your big mistake is you won't pay for mentoring so that you do it right the first time. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for over 25 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 10 of the last 10 years. It's easy to see why Think Realty Magazine named us the best in the U.S. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about two most prolific statements I've ever heard in my life. One of them is you can't solve the problem at the same level of thinking the problem was created at. That's Einstein. The second one is how you see the problem is the problem. Again, Einstein. And what we're saying is that people that go into things don't have any idea what they don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And so I was going down the understanding or the sharing of a concept somebody wanted me to go over the other day, which is why is it that the people out there are that are there are so many people out there that have the do-it-yourself mentality. In other words, if they don't do it themselves, they're not happy that it was done. And even very smart people get out there and think, I can figure this out on my own. It's the I'm smartest person around syndrome, sharpest blade in the drawer syndrome. And I can figure this stuff out. I've figured everything else out. And the answer is no, you don't figure everything else out. So then you say, yeah, but I can listen to 1,000 different things for free. And by listening to 1,000 different things for free, I can get something done. No, you don't. You get something done, but not the right things done. I was sharing my example of the train layout that I've been building for 7 years at my house since I moved in. And I've had to rebuild it. I'm on my third iteration. Now, this time, I'm actually doing it right. How do I know that? Because I went to a professional and paid him to design it with me, right? And I didn't even use his exact design, but I learned enough from his design and from his ideas and theories to be able to see the flaws in mine and make sense of what I was doing. So now as I do it methodically, step by step, just like he said to do it, I have the right mentality. I can see what I couldn't see before. And there's no way I could have gone and asked the questions to answer the problems I had because I didn't even know that I had the problems. And I have this all the time. An example, point in fact, a guy, I talked to him just the other day by email. He sent me an email, told me that he had listened to the radio show, and just by listening to the radio show, he'd come up with a couple of really great ideas, one of which was to refinance the property that he owned, and he pulled out a ton of money. I mean, he made a ton of money by listening to that on the show. Hey, I should do that. That was just an idea. It was always there for him to do, but it wasn't an idea that he would have thought to do. Now, he hears it on the radio. He does it. He then says, I asked for interest only, something I never would have thought to do, and they gave it to me. There again, just an idea he never thought of, but interest only means you have a larger cash flow, right? You think that you want to pay off the mortgage. The concept is, no, don't pay off the mortgage. That's an idea, completely different idea. So all of the ideas you have out there are at jeopardy of being wrong. I'm not saying they all are. I'm saying they could be. And as you continue to perfect doing it wrong, you're not getting anywhere. So here I am 7 years later saying, well, why didn't you just sign up with the mentor in the beginning? Well, in the beginning, I didn't know I was going to want to go so deep. I didn't know that I was going to want something so elaborate. I didn't know that what I was doing was childish and wasn't going to come out looking like what I wanted it to look like. I started with a weak intention. I started with no real direction. And when I finally paid somebody to mentor me through the process, he immediately snapped me out of all that and showed what I should have been doing intellectually to plan this process, this project. And it changed everything. I mean, now doing it is 10 times more fun, 10 times more effective. Well, I was talking to this guy. I said, well, great. I'm glad all that happened. Are you going to sign up and let us mentor you through 1,000 other great ideas? He goes, probably eventually. So what? He goes, I've got a bunch of paperwork sitting on my desk still from all this stuff I did. Let me just kind of, get the paperwork out of the way and clean it all up and get back. And what he's saying is, I want to get back to homeostatic status of I'm just stopped. What he's saying is, I made so much growth in just a short period of time that I don't want to grow anymore. It's so much better than it was. I'll just stop here. How many of you have done that? You just stop here. You accept what you have. Paying for mentoring is investing in yourself. You realize that you invest in all kinds of stuff. But the stuff that pays you the most money is investing in yourself. When you increase your information and knowledge of the world, you expand your circle of influence, the things you can do, touch, and control. When you do that, it pays back on itself tenfold, if not more. So if I go spend $1,000 to learn something, it's going to save me $10,000 in mistakes within the first week. It might save me $100,000 over my lifetime. And it might even teach me a way to make $100,000 that I didn't even know how to make by spending $1,000 to learn how to do it right. Now, our program only costs $500 to get into. Right? So I ask you this question and think about it carefully. Understand the facts, the point of facts before I start. The point of facts is we've been doing this for 29 years. The point of fact is we've been screaming about it on the radio for 29 years. The point of fact is we've had people get up and prove that it's true every month for 29 years. So I know it's a fact. You don't know it's a fact. And there's no way you could know it's a fact, right? But there's a statement. What would it be worth to you to learn how to retire in 5 years or less? Second statement. What would it be worth to you to learn how to make $1 million a year? Now, I teach people to do both of those things. I have done it many, many times over 29 years. I know that. You don't know that. But I'm just asking you, what would it be worth to you if you believed you could do that? If you truly believe that my program, my ideas, and my mentors could help you do retire in 5 years or less, or help you do make $1 million a year, what would you pay to learn that? And if you say, oh man, I wouldn't pay very much, then you're an idiot. You're a complete idiot. You should be willing to pay what you were willing to pay to go to college. People pay to get a master's degree or above, doctorate degree, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a job and work for the next 40 years of your life. What would you pay to be retired in 5 years from now, making as much money as the average working person or more, tax-free for the rest of your life? What would you pay if you could learn how to make $1 million a year and not $100,000 or $200,000 a year? By God, a lot more than $500. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Get total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. Over 25 years ago, Del Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Del has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the five ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Station today, radio show, sorry. what we've been talking about today is the fact that you can't solve the problem at the same level of thinking the problem was created at, and what you don't know, you don't know. And you can't, you know, how you see the problem is the problem. Those three statements I think are very, very important. And I add to that that most of you don't even realize you're living a life of quiet desperation. And I don't mean to insult you with that. It shouldn't be an insult because you don't know what you don't know. Does that make sense? If you've never could see in color, you have no idea what color is. If you've never lived an incredible life, you don't know what an incredible life is. It isn't more of what you have. Taking what you have in life and doubling it is not making your life any better. It's just more of what you have. What I'm talking about is having that which you don't have. Total financial freedom where you get up every morning and there's no thought of what I need to go do to make money. It's solved. It's done. I don't need to worry about growth. Growth is already imputed into the system. I'll get richer every year. I'll make more money every year. I don't have to worry about that. You don't know what it's like to get up and go, I can go anywhere I want to go in the world. I don't really have to stay here. I could go away for a month and be away for a month. Right? You don't know what that's like. You don't know what it's like that when your kid says they want to do something and it's real important, you can cut them a check for thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to help them get there. You don't know what it's like to be in perfect physical fitness because you don't have time to work out. There's so many things, so many hobbies you'd like to pursue that you don't pursue. You've just given them up because you don't have time. You don't know what you don't have. And you don't know what you don't know to solve that problem because you can't solve the problem at the same level of thinking the problem was created at. Let me give you an example of one instead of going around in circles here. Guy asked me, he said, Dale, I don't understand. How can I buy any real estate because I already have a personal residence? And if I go buy a rent house, I'm going to run out of credit. Well, what the guy doesn't understand and his mortgage broker doesn't understand, because they could be just as dumb as you are, they live in a little box just like you live in a little box, is that when you purchase rental income, the income from the property goes on to your income and expense debt ratio. So the house, if it's making you more money than the mortgage payment, is adding income to your income and debt ratio. So when you go to buy your personal residence, and that's all you normally buy, they tell you can afford a $150,000, $200,000 house. So you go buy a house, $200,000, you've used up your ability to buy. You've used up the ability to buy for your own personal consumption. You have not used up your ability to buy rental properties. Right? Let's take another one that's interesting. Is that, how do I buy real estate if I have no income? I'm not showing any income. You're telling me that by buying real estate, I can have income that has no taxes. I don't pay any taxes. To pay no taxes, I have to show no income, so then I can't qualify for a loan. No. The reason you can't qualify for a loan is because you're a self-employed individual or a employed individual that uses tax deductions that say, I spent the money. And you're saying, I shouldn't have to pay taxes on this money because I spent it on daycare. I spent the money on business travel, business entertainment expenses, on business dinners. I spent the money on office expense. You're telling the IRS you spent all that money, and that's why you're taking that deduction. But in real estate, we're not paying taxes because we spent the money. We didn't spend the money. We are bragging about how much money we make. Do you hear me? I'm bragging. I make tons of money. The IRS isn't going to come take it from me because I said that. They're going to look at an income statement and tax return that says Dell made millions of dollars, but Dell has depreciation, a phantom expense that does not require proceeds from the business to be taken. And so I can show zero income and then go to the bank the very next day and go, look, I made $2 million or $1 million or $100,000, whatever it is you're making on your real estate. Maybe it's $2,000 a month, it's $24,000. You know, whatever it is you're making can be covered up with depreciation. But when you go to the bank, and by the way, you can't go to your brother or your cousin or the idiot down the street at Wells Fargo because they don't know what we know. They can't figure it out. But when you go to one of our mortgage brokers, one of our mortgage companies, it's not, I don't own them, I don't run them. Don't get me wrong, this is not a pitch for coming to me to get a mortgage. It's our vendors, the people that specialize in what we do. When you go to our vendors, they go, oh, man, you're doing well. They take the depreciation right out. They take it off because they know it's not real. But you don't know that. Now you know it because I told it to you. But you didn't even know you didn't know that until I brought it up to you. You're thinking, I can't get loans. Here's another one. I can't get a loan because I don't have a job. Well, you can't get a loan conventionally because you don't have a job. But the business of real estate itself is an income-producing situation. So if I go buy an apartment complex, they don't ask to see my W-2 income. It's not a relevant factor, right? Unless you go to an idiot. There are mortgage guys out there that don't know what they're doing. Go to the wrong kind of mortgage person, and they will tell you you can't. But go to the right mortgage guy, they don't care you have a job. They don't even ask if you have a job. They want to know what's your net worth, and do you have the money to put down on this? Do you have capital? That's all they care about, not your personal income. Other people don't understand that the income that we earn from our investments is actual income. Because we're not paying taxes on it, they're thinking it's not income, but it is income. So when somebody says, well, I can't do real estate because I don't have a job, it's because you don't have any income. It's not because you don't have a job. I don't have a job either. But I've got income, right? But you don't know that. In fact, you don't even know that you don't know that. That's the real challenge. You don't understand taxation at all. You know, there was this person on TV, stupid reporter, just the dumbest old guy I've ever seen, screaming and yelling, and obviously a Democrat, you know, just screaming and yelling, look, Donald Trump has changed the tax law so people don't pay any income taxes on real estate. No, you idiot. It was always that way. Ronald Reagan made it less beneficial to own real estate. Donald Trump made it more beneficial to own real estate. But it has always been possible to pay no taxes on rental real estate income and capital gains. Capital gains, you get out of paying taxes on it because of 1031 exchanges. You can defer that for the rest of your life, and when you die, all the taxes go away. Think about that. You put all this money in a 401k, you saved it, earned money, it maybe went up in value, and you die and leave it to your kids. For them to get it out of there, they've got to pay the taxes that you didn't pay. You leave them a piece of real estate, and you didn't pay any taxes on the income from that real estate for 25, 30 years. The capital gains, the value's gone up 200, 300%. They just assume that property at a stepped-up basis, whatever it is, and start all over. All of your taxes go away. Boom. Ever. Never. Now try to compare that with anything else you've ever heard on any other business or investment. It just doesn't even come close. The kinds of money that it takes to be wealthy cannot exist in a traditional investment. I started an IRA when I was 20 years old, put $2,000 in it or whatever, because my dad convinced me that it was the right thing to do. And I've kept that thing since I was 18, whatever it is. I'm 62, so it's got to be 50 plus years, right? And that $2,000 has grown into what was at the beginning of the year $38,000. By mid-year, the stock market had gone up and it was worth $43,000. And by the end of the year, I just got my year-end statement, it had gone back down to less than what it was the previous year, back down under $38,000. That's the kind of investments you guys have. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to me. Your value of your 401k went down in December. Went down. And you won't even admit it to yourself. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. I'd like to go ahead and finish up the show today with a few emails that have some questions that I think bring out some ideas you need to think about. The first one is from a lady who, by the way, is a member. And I didn't know that at first when I started working with her on this thing. He says, my renter's kids play so much in the backyard that they have destroyed the grass. It's only about 5% of the grass is left back there. I told the tenant this is serious damage. He said when he decides to move out, he'll replace the grass. I bought someone in for an estimate, cost about $1,200. Then I asked her, okay, well, does this person pay on time and everything? And did you screen them? She says, yeah, I screened them. Everything looked good. And yes, they pay me about $1,500 a month, and my mortgage payment's $500 a month. And you got to understand, this went back and forth over about two or three different emails. And I just wanted to reach out and grab her, you know, give her a hug and say, look, you're out of your mind. When someone is living in your rent house and they're paying you $1,000 a month over the mortgage, and they pay like clockwork, and they've got good references, and what they're doing is living in the house, they are consuming the value of the house. The lease states that they will pay for that consumption. So if they destroy the yard, when they get ready to leave, you can take their security deposit, which is about $1,500 because the rent's $1,500 a month. The security deposit was $1,500 a month. You can take their security deposit to offset whatever damages they don't do. If it's not enough to cover the damages, you can sue them for the difference, and you'll win. Get a judgment against them. You may never collect the money, especially if you put a bad tenant in there that doesn't have any money. But you can sue them and get the judgment, ruin their credit, and they'll never be able to lease again. Without somebody knowing they did you wrong, right? But in this case, when the person's paying you and you're making $1,000 a month positive cash flow every month, why would you want to kick them out? And that's what she asked me. Should I evict them? And the answer is no. And here's a theory I used to have. I had a theory that every house was only nice until the tenant moved in. The day they moved in, it's no longer going to be perfect. Let the tenant utilize the house for as long as you can possibly get them to utilize it, because it's still not perfect. Even if they move out and it's relatively clean, you still got to probably paint and clean the carpet, do a few things. So it's going to cost you money for move-outs. So I don't ever force people to move out unless there's some real problem, mostly the problem of not paying. And so you let them stay. And if these people destroy the yard and they're willing to live there, get this, they're willing to live under those conditions. A guy's saying, I'll fix it when I leave, when I decide to leave. But if they're willing to live under those conditions and pay you that rent, then go ahead and let them do it. Right? And the reality is that what you believe to be important, which is the value of your asset, you believe the grass is a valuable part of your asset, and it may or may not be. Because what about the next guy that has a dog? And here's the theory I used to use when I did single-family houses. I'd say, the house is a dog house or it's not a dog house. Now, what does that mean? If anybody's ever lived in this house, I get a house back from a person and there had been a dog in it, I can now clean that house up and put it back on the market, and I can call it a dog house. And what does that mean? It means dogs available, dogs accepted. Pets accepted. And so when somebody comes in and says, hey, you accept my Doberman, or you accept my Rottweiler, or you accept my big dog, and I say, yeah, this is a dog-friendly environment. Now they come over and look at the house, and they see the house has a little bit of a smell to it because it had had a dog before or a cat. And they say, I don't like that. And you say, okay, two things. Number one, then you don't really want a dog house. You really want a perfect house. But you're probably not going to get a perfect house with that dog. But here's what I'll do for you. I will repair. I will take out the carpet, put new carpet in, clean it all up, you know, to where there's no smell. But in return, right, in return, you're going to give me a double or triple security deposit. So if your dog does it again, turns it back into a dog house, you're going to be paying for the damage your dog did. Now, if you'll take it where somebody else's dog had done damage and you're willing to let your dog live in the same kind of damage that your dog will do, which is pet hairs, pet smells, whatever it is, and I'm not saying I'm giving it to them dirty, don't get me wrong. Cleaning the carpet after a pet, you have clean carpet, but sometimes you still have residual smells. Sometimes there's still, you know, hair in the corners. It's not perfect. It's never perfect until it's brand new again. But being a dog house, I can allow someone else to pay full market rent, who is willing to because they have the same thing. They have a pet. So you see, this lady was willing to cut off her nose to spite her face. She was going to evict a tenant that was paying like clockwork, that was giving her $1,000 a month profit, get rid of them, and then have to do the repairs herself out of her own pocket or take it out of the security deposit. And be right back where she started with a house she now has to rent to find somebody else to put in there. All because the kids were killing the grass. You see, you can't figure those kinds of problems out on your own. Because your brain is telling you, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, they're hurting me, they're hurting me, they're hurting me, they're hurting me. And you're not thinking like this is a business. I'm providing a product. They are consuming the product. And when I get it back, I'll rebuild the product and start over again. But if they stay there 4 years, that's $48,000 of profit they paid you. I think you can afford to replace the yard for $1,200. Just doesn't make sense. Right? So, one last thing, and we'll get out of here for the day. The lady's a member. She thought she had to rejoin every year, so she stopped coming in and asking for advice. She called up on the radio because she thought it was free. Once you're a member at Lifestyles, you're a lifetime member. You don't have to rejoin year after year after year. You need to know that. She needed to know that. Remember always, we're not doing this for some money. We're doing it for a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.